engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to the third hour of the Eric Erickson Show. I am delighted to have you. I think this afternoon I will be done with the book. I hope. Just have a couple chapters left. I should be able to get it done by 6. In any event, I'm going to do axe grinding this hour. The reason is very simple. I am exhausted. For those of you who have not heard, here's what's happening. I am getting up at sunrise. I am going to record the audio version of my book. And then I do my show for 3 hours. And then I go back and I record more till the sun goes down. And it takes a very long time. As I have explained ad nauseum, you're wondering, Erickson, why can't you do this in the radio studio? Because someone has to listen and make sure you pronounce all the words right. You don't skip the words. You say stuff correctly. And then the microphone is so sensitive. You have to record, like, for example, this morning and then yesterday, there were several times where I brushed against my shirt. It got picked up in the microphone. Or I had saliva on my lips and they could tell. F's and S's in particular caused that. And have to record again. You have to record whole sentences over or whole paragraphs. And then once this is all done, next week I'll come back for a day and there will be a list of changes I have to make. So in any event, this is my axe grinding hour because I have things I've been wanting to get off my chest this week. And this is an appropriate time. The third hour is always an appropriate time. I want to begin with my monologue from the other day. I think it was Monday, where I yet again explain to all of you who earnestly believe Barack Obama is pulling the strings of the Biden administration that it's not so. And I got an email from a listener. Headline, subject line rather, Obama not making the decisions behind the scenes. Here we go. I do not listen to Fox News and gather my information from sources such as The Federalist, World Net Daily, and other verifiable sources. If you think WorldNet Daily is a verifiable source, there's your problem nonetheless. Nearly every person in Biden's cabinet are holdovers from the Obama administration. If you do not think Obama is interacting with people such as Susan Rice and involved with making policy decisions, then I question your sources. Obama is on the record making comments that he'd be fine with a third term if someone could be a stand-in with an earpiece. We certainly have someone who is not capable of making the decisions as president. Secondly, the policy decisions are almost a carbon copy of what was in place during the Obama years. If Obama is not solely working behind the scenes, then surely the same cabal who put Obama in the White House is running the Biden White House through Obama and through the same cabinet. He is directly or indirectly involved. There is a dangerous group inside the World Economic Forum and should be more of a focus of talk show hosts such as yourself. Way to pivot to the World Economic Forum. So I replied back to the guy. Quote, nearly every person in Biden's cabinet are holdovers from the Obama administration. That's what he said, and he gets it from verifiable sources like The Federalist and WorldNet Daily. Anthony Blinken. He served in the Obama White House for Joe Biden. Lloyd Austin was in the military and then in the civilian world. Merrick Garland was in the judiciary, not the Obama administration. Deb Haaland was in Congress. Tom Vilsack was a governor. Then he served as Obama and Biden's Secretary of Agriculture. He was a friend of Joe Biden's, and Joe Biden recommended him for Obama's Secretary of Agriculture, by the way. Giamondo was governor of Rhode Island. Becerra was in California state politics, including attorney general. Pete Buttigieg was, well, in diapers during the Obama administration and then a mayor in Indiana. Jennifer Granholm was a governor. Cardona worked in Connecticut. McDonough did work for Obama. Mayorkas worked for Dianne Feinstein, then Barack Obama. Reagan worked in North Carolina. Young worked in the House of Representatives. Haynes did work for Obama. And Susan Rice, again, his quote, this is very important. He says, Susan Rice, if you don't think Obama is interacting with people such as Susan Rice and involved with making policy decisions, Susan Rice doesn't work in the White House. She did, but she's gone. So, where does this stand? Four people in the cabinet are holdovers from Obama. One of them actually worked for Joe Biden during Obama's time in office, Anthony Blinken. But he said nearly every person in Biden's cabinet are holdovers from the Obama administration. If four of them, and look, I'm including Office of Management and Budget, White House personnel, things like that. And the chief of staff, by the way, the chief of staff did have ties to Obama, but also to Joe Biden. And even Ron Klain. Ron Klain was a Biden guy. So how is it that nearly every person in Biden's cabinet are holdovers from the Obama administration, and so Obama is pulling the strings when only four of them are? Do better, people. Do better. This guy, not people. Do better. Do better. This is, you may disagree with me because you're reading a bunch of websites that tell you what you want to hear, but just because they tell you what you want to hear does not mean they're telling you the truth. I do work very hard to tell you the truth, and I do know what I'm talking about. How do I know what I'm talking about? Because I know people who work directly for Barack Obama, and I know people who work for Joe Biden. And you know what they have in common? They hate each other. They don't talk to each other. I realize you are sitting on the sidelines somewhere reading websites I didn't even know were still existed, and you consider yourself a smart person. But until you're actually willing to talk to the people who are actually involved in the White House and actually involved in the Obama White House and be friends with them and relate to them and have conversations with them, and they trust you and you trust them so you can have frank conversations, you don't really know what you're talking about. You're reading people in an echo chamber. Please, people, stop reading people in an echo chamber. Try to get the facts, not just what you think is true. Susan Rice does not work in the Biden White House. She did. She's been gone for over a year. Axe grinded. Next one. I have criticized repeatedly on this program one Candace Owens. I would like to play for you some audio because I got a very angry letter from someone when I referred to Candace Owens as an anti-Semite and someone who has said nice things about the Nazis. How can you say that about Candace Owens? That is slanderous. I play for you now Candace Owens' latest video excerpt. Oh, sorry. I got to reroute this. Blood pressure got up and I didn't check the button right. Here we go. Brace yourselves.
In this case, is Germany, Nazi, Hitler, the greatest evil that's ever happened on Earth, even though factually and statistically it is not. And part of that learning process for me when I started looking into it was coming across a huge fact that we ethnically, the Allies, ethnically cleansed 12 million Germans. Because when you say to people, okay, what is it about Hitler? Why is he the most evil? Well, the first thing people would say is, well, an ethnic cleansing almost took place. And now I offer back, you mean like we actually did?
Oh, sweet Jesus. Please give me patience to deal with the idiots of life. We did not ethnically cleanse Germany. Yes, 12 million Germans died. The Russians killed them. The British killed them. The French killed them. The Poles killed them. The Czechs killed them. The Americans killed them. The Canadians killed them. The Australians killed them. The New Zealanders killed them. All of the Allies killed them. Do you know why? Do you have any idea why? Because the Germans invaded all of these European countries and a grand global coalition of the British Empire, the Americans and European powers and the Russians or Soviets at the time, they decided to fight back. And so 12 million Germans died, about 6 million soldiers and 6 million civilians as Germany was firebombed. Do you know what's different is that the Germans were the bad guys. The Germans invaded these countries, and the Germans rounded up millions of Jews to execute them. The Jews had not invaded anything. Many of the Jews lived peacefully in Europe. If you little moral ingrate, can't see the difference between the Nazis invading countries and rounding up innocent people to put them in gas chambers and burn them alive versus the Allied powers responding to the German aggression in a war, you are a mental midget. You have no moral credibility. The idea that you can justify saying any nice thing about the Nazis because we happen to kill more of them than they killed of Jews, the Jews whose guns they took away, who they rounded up and put in concentration camps, versus the Germans who killed a lot of other people as well. Some of you want to defend her. And the reason you want to defend her is because she's a young black lady who you thought was on our side, and you're not willing to acknowledge she's never been on our side. She told you a lot of things you wanted to hear, and she is a racist anti-Semite who did one thing with Blexit and is a charlatan who, in other ways, apologizes for the Nazis and makes excuses for the Nazis and can't condemn what happened on October 7th, can't condemn Hamas, and claims, I must study it. She's still studying the evil of October 7th. She can mouth off about the Germans and get stuff wrong. She has yet to say one damn word of outrage about what happened on October 7th when Hamas went into Israel and killed a bunch of Israelis. Spare me your outrage over condemning this anti-Semite. Spare me your, I'm 65 and went to a TPUSA conference and she was so good on stage. She must be one of us. No, she's not. When the Antichrist comes, a whole lot of people will be confused and fooled by the Antichrist and be on his side. And that doesn't make him a Christian any more than it makes Candace Owens some nice person on your side because one time she said something you liked at a conference. She's a horrible human being. Do not be confused by Candace Owens. Axe grinded. Or I guess that's like Joe Biden saying goodest, axe ground. How about that? I feel better now having gotten those off my chest. Both of these this week, these emails, while I've been cooped up in this hotel room, I've just been seething about them. It just feels good to be behind this microphone instead of reading the audiobook. Okay, we have much more to cover in this exciting hour of the Eric Erickson Show.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. So last night, while I'm delving into Axe's ground and pet peeves, I might as well tell you, I went to my favorite restaurant last night. I have not been able to go. So I used to do evening drive time in Atlanta, 4 to 6. And then very often after the show, I would go up to Roswell, Georgia. It's about 30 minutes from my office. And there's a restaurant up there called Table in Maine. It is, hands down, my favorite restaurant. It's just my happy place. It is very, very high-quality food, but with a very relaxed atmosphere. And they got a great bourbon selection. So I went up last night because I'm in a hotel all week. I got finished with the audiobook. We actually were done about 4 yesterday. The lady had stuff she had to do, so we wrapped up a little early. I went to the gym, for the record, I went to the gym, and then I went to Table in Maine. It was fantastic. It was just, y'all, it was great. But I put a picture on Instagram, and I noted, I was there by myself, and everybody was like, oh, you should have invited me, I would have come, and I love all of you, I love every one of you who listen. Yes, even you, although you annoy me, yes, you too. It was just so nice to sit there and just talk to the bartender. And I could be quiet if I wanted to be quiet. I talked for, 8 hours? So I didn't need to say a lot. Man, I love that. Now, here's the downside. I've told you all, my favorite restaurant is Table in Main in Roswell, Georgia. If you ever come to Atlanta, wherever you are, you should get an Uber and go to Table in Main. Reservation appreciated. Not necessary, but appreciated. The problem is that since I've been saying, it's really hard to get a reservation there. What is the old Yogi Bear quote? Nobody goes there anymore with too many people. It is a phenomenal place. It's seasonal. The menu changes. I have gotten a sneak preview of the menu. I want to talk about the dessert I had. Y'all. I mean, I got a sweet tooth. And I like chocolate. And I like peanut butter. And they have this dish. It's like a peanut brittle / Nutter Butter crushed up in the bottom. And then homemade chocolate pudding on top of that. And then a homemade marshmallow cream on top of that. And it's toasted like a s'mores. Oh my goodness gracious, y'all. It is a good thing. It is a little portion, but I nearly aardvarked it and tried to get my tongue in there as far as I could to get every little bit out of it. Oh my gosh. I had dreams of that dessert. It was so incredibly good. I'm going to have to try to duplicate something like that. I bet if I made my homemade chocolate pudding, because it's a dark chocolate pudding, I could do that for the guys on Sunday night and put a Nutter Butter in the bottom and crush. Oh, I'm going to have to try that. I'm going to have to experiment. Speaking of, here's another pet peeve, y'all. Someone, I'm not going to say who, Philip, sent me a picture of the Pillsbury crescent rolls that someone was cooking. They looked like turds on the pan. They were not rolled up like a crescent roll is supposed to be rolled up. And the response was, there's no right way to roll a $2 tub of dough. It hurt my soul to see. They really looked like things that should float in a toilet. It was very embarrassing to see. I was personally outraged. So I'm going to have to make those on Sunday night and show how it's done. All right, I got to show you how it's done right to get a computer. You go to visioncomputers.com or call them at 404-COMPUTE. They can build you a computer. Now, listen up. I do want to make this personal to me. If your kid, like my kid, is going to college and your kid is going to need a computer for college and they need a PC, call Vision. They can build a PC for your kid exactly what they need based on what their degree they think they want to do, what their major is, whatever. They can get it done for you. And then your kid gets their tech support. So if anything happens while they're off at college, they call the number in 15 seconds or less. Vision Computer gets them the answer, whatever they need. It's a great peace of mind for you as a parent to make sure your kid is technologically taken care of. But if you have a business and you have computers and you didn't buy them from Vision, they can give you that world-class tech support as well for a very low annual fee, $179 a year. All you do is call them, 404-COMPUTE. 404-COMPUTE, or go to visioncomputers.com. Tell them I sent you. You're going to get an even better deal. Call Vision Computers at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them Eric sent you.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation, here wrapping up this fine third hour. I'm not going to grind axes now. I actually want to play you audio because, holy cow, Karine Jean-Pierre must be regretting her life's decisions at this moment. The press, the White House press corps, it's not just Peter Ducey. It's not just him. It's not just James Rosen. The White House press corps has now turned decisively aggressive against Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary.
Does the president feel like he's beat back this effort to force him to step aside?
Look, you heard the president yesterday when he called into Morning Joe, did about 18 minutes of Q&A yesterday morning. He spoke very, very, I think, forcefully, passionately about where he stands, about how he sees things moving forward.
But he acknowledged he was reading from lists. He was on a speakerphone. He had people feeding him information. It wasn't unscripted. He had people in the room with him. But, oh, it gets more, because the president, you know, he called out Jackie Walorski, who had died.
This was an event where the president called out Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, looked for her in the room, even though she had recently died. You told multiple reporters at the time, and this was asked in multiple different ways.
She was top of mind.
Right. It was because she was top of mind for the president. I mean, would you, on that example, would you offer a different explanation?
I would not, because honestly, I spoke to the president right before coming out that day, and that is what the president told me. It's not something that came from me. That is something that came from the president.
Way to throw him under the bus. But here's the relevant point on this. Reporters are now going back to earlier events and asking if they stand by those earlier statements in light of things. This is how bad it is for Joe Biden right now. One more.
The White House has obviously fielded a lot of questions in recent days about the president's health, whether the White House has been forthcoming or not about that issue. And I just wondered, have the last 12 days made you reconsider any specific statements that you might have made in recent months on that issue?
I appreciate the question. I really do, and the opportunity. I think there has been moments here when I have said, and I said, especially in the gaggle, I think, and actually yesterday, if I have misled in something that I've said or haven't had the full information, I actually own up to that. And I actually say, I will do my best to get you the information. Hence the letter for Dr. O'Connor, right? And so I've always said, I've always been committed to doing the best I can to give you the information that we have. That is a commitment from the team. It has been an unprecedented time. I think you guys could admit that, right? It is an unprecedented time. And so we are meeting the moment, a new moment that has never really existed before. And so we want to make sure that we get you all the information that we have. And when we don't have it, we do try our best to provide that information.
What is the unprecedented time? No one followed up. What exactly are you saying is an unprecedented time? I mean, because you guys for years have claimed Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's in his final years in office, though he was head and shoulders above Joe Biden's performance. But just a couple of things to keep in mind here. One, she's claiming this is an unprecedented time. Other presidents have had bad debates before. There was the Reagan issue where you had, Howard Baker as chief of staff looking at the 25th Amendment because they weren't sure he was right in the head. Turns out he was actually he was showing age, not dementia at the time. He handled himself very well at the end of his White House, extemporaneously being able to speak, unlike Joe Biden, and walked just fine, by the way. So I guess they're really acknowledging this is a particularly bad moment. And the press is demanding that she recall things she previously said to see if she still stands by those things.
Look, I think that he is more determined than ever to continue to get the job done, to continue to build an economy that works for all, to continue to make sure that we have a middle class, right, that is strong, right, that we don't have a trickle-down economy, that we have an economy that's built from the bottom up, middle out. That's what he wants to continue to do. I think this week with the NATO summit, the 75th year of NATO, let's not forget, NATO has helped to protect Americans and also protect the world and what it's been able to do for the past 75 years. You're going to see the president engaging with 32 leaders of this alliance. I think that's really important. That's, again, on behalf of the American people. So he wants to do that. He has a lot on his mind, and as it deals with making sure we deliver for the American people, that's what he's going to focus on.
Is it just me, or does she sound somewhat deflated? I mean, I would be after the week. My goodness gracious. Oh, it keeps going. We haven't even gotten to Peter Ducey. We haven't even gotten there, because now the reporters are seizing on Hunter Biden being in meetings in the White House.
President Biden has told me before he and his son don't have any business dealings together. So what is Hunter Biden doing in White House meetings?
Are you talking about the meeting where they came together from Camp David and the two of them walked to the president's meeting and he was there?
There's a report that aides were struck by his presence during their discussions.
Look, I can't, I'm certainly not going to get into private conversations that occur. What I can say is, and I spoke to this before, is that when they came back from Camp David, the president spent a couple days at Camp David with his family. He is very close to his family, as you know. It was the week of 4th of July, which is why his family members were here last week. They walked together, and they walked together into the meeting.
Can you say if Hunter Biden has access to classified information?
No.
Can you say, does Hunter Biden have access to classified information? No. Now we're getting into Peter Ducey territory. We really are getting into Peter Ducey territory. Here we go. They begin.
Why doesn't anybody in the president's family urge him just to go to get checked out to say the coast is clear?
Okay, so just to step back just a little bit, because I think you weren't in the briefing room last week. I don't want to go backwards, but just to share a little bit about that night. The president said it was a bad night. He talked about it. He had a cold, right? He talked about his schedule, right, being abroad.
He had a cold, but he still went to the Waffle House afterwards and shook people's hands.
And so we spoke about what that night was like for him. And we understand what the American people saw, what you all saw. We've spoken to that. And I also would say, and I think you know this, Peter, you've covered a couple of administrations at this point, that the president, every president, has a White House medical unit that is with him 24/7, that is available to him 24/7, that is unlike any other American, right? That is not the norm. That is uncommon. Just down on the other side of the colonnade is where the medical unit is. And I did share that the president checks in while he's exercising with his doctor on a couple times a week.
Yeah. Making excuses for him. Hang on. This is the best one. This is the best one.
Well, he also said he's sharpest before 8 p.m. So say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
He has a team that lets him know of any news that is pertinent and important to the American people. He has someone that is decided, obviously, with his National Security Council on who gets to tell him that news.
She's so deflated. She deserves it. She absolutely deserves it. This is what they get. This is it. This is the necessity. They have tried to cover this up. You people remember this. I say you people lovingly. The whole reason they're going through this is not because they wanted to have an open conversation. It's because they wanted a cover up and he exposed himself on the debate stage. That's why this is happening. I feel no sympathy for these people. They lied and they lied and they lied. It's just what they do. And they tried to cover it up. And spare me, like I said earlier, spare me the whole, well, he's a good guy. No, I'm sorry. A good guy does not, while a hurricane is rolling through Texas, try to turn it into a political attack on the Republicans. A good guy wouldn't do that. A desperate, desperate politician would do that. The fact that he tried to do this to Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick in Texas is appalling. They hadn't even assessed the damage yet because the hurricane was rolling through. So they couldn't do a FEMA declaration because you have to have damage assessments according to the federal regulations in order to do it. And so you got to get the basic estimates done from the local counties. And the fact that Joe Biden decided to jump on this to attack them and say they're dragging their feet. I was trying to find them. I'm in charge here. No, you're not. You did this as a crass political attack. Well, Greg Abbott was scheduled out of the country, so Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, is operating on his behalf. It was a crass political attack by a desperate politician who's not a good man. I'm sorry to disabuse you of the notion. Joe Biden is not a good man. A good man would not have abandoned his children after their mother died and gone to the Senate. A good man wouldn't be sitting in the office insisting only he can stop Donald Trump and he is the inevitable person and he is the person who everyone must bow to. A good man would not do that. The left is beginning to realize they have a real problem. The left is beginning to realize he's not so easily going to be pushed out. And yet, the best they can do, I played you the audio yesterday of John Kirby. And now you got Janet Yellen as well going to Congress and having to assert that in behind the scenes, Joe Biden is just the brilliant man ever.
Madam Secretary, when was the last time you met with President Biden in person?
I meet with President Biden over a wide range of issues, the economy, China,
when was the last
Russia.
Time you met with him in person?
I'm not going to comment on my meetings with the president. Those are private.
Well, as a cabinet secretary, have you noticed any mental or cognitive decline in any of these meetings?
The president is extremely effective in the meetings that I've been in with him. That includes many international meetings that are multi-hour, like his meetings with President Xi. I've met with him, with other leaders who are in.
So are you testifying that you have not seen any mental or cognitive decline?
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry, she's not a physician.
She's a member of the
She's
cabinet.
Not. You're asking her a medical question.
Let's keep the comments to the subject.
It's not a medical question. It's her interpretation as a member of the cabinet.
This, y'all, if he stays, this is what they're going to go through, which is why he can't stay. But no one can make him leave except for himself. They are getting what they deserve. They had ample opportunity to go in a different direction. They tried to cover it up. They did not succeed. And now they're crying about it. It's their own fault. They did this to themselves. You Democrats are stuck with this because this is Joe Biden, Mr. Egomaniac, who believes himself to be the indispensable person in the room, who you guys think Donald Trump is an existential threat to America, and you're about to hand him back the White House because you've got this dementia patient in the White House who refuses to leave. Well done. Well done indeed. And what's not well done is Joe Biden's economy. It's not doing well at all. You got banks collapsing. You've got more teetering on the edge. You've got gold prices soaring. You've got the national debt exploding. You've got China trying to play us on the national debt. I know Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years. They've been warning people about a secret war on cash for quite some time now. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from this secret war, they will send you a report on the secret war on cash completely free. They're rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. They can educate you on protecting your assets with this report, The Secret War on Cash. You can go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric to get it. Or, better yet, by the way, it only takes like 15 minutes to read the report, and it's great and in-depth. And you can get your free copy by going to SwissAmerica.com/Eric or call or text 800-289-2646. Send them my name by text, E-R-I-C-K, Eric, to 800-289-2646. By the way, the All-Out War on Cash, it includes digital forms of currency. It's growing. It's spreading. Get the report for free. Just mention Eric when you call or text 800-289-2646. Get the free report at 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on, is that right? Yeah, cooking. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. So Keegan Bradley has been named the Ryder Cup, captain. And he was passed over last time. Zach Johnson picked people he knew better. I got a soft spot for Keegan Bradley. I just think he's a good golfer. And if you watch the Full Swing documentary on Netflix, he probably should have been on the team ahead of some who were picked just given his score. Now he's going to be the captain. It'd be really cool if he played. Most of the captains don't. Arnold Palmer did. But now there may be an even more popular golf tournament. Donald Trump last night in Florida.
That's why this evening I am also, and this is in honor of you and everybody. It is 45,000 people. That's a lot of people. I'm also officially challenging Cricket Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. Under Al's Blue Monster, considered one of the greatest tournament golf courses anywhere in the world, one of the great courses of the world. It will be among the most watched sporting events in history, maybe bigger than the Ryder Cup or even the Masters. And I will even give Joe Biden 10 strokes aside. 10 strokes, that's a lot. That means 20 strokes in case you don't play golf. I will give him 10 strokes aside, and if he wins, I will give the charity of his choice, any charity that he wants, $1 million. And I'll bet you he doesn't take the offer. I would bet he, because he's all talk.
You know, he's not. He's not going to take the bait. But, you know, if he did and he won, he would insist Trump give the money to Planned Parenthood or something like that. Of course he would do that because he's not a good guy. But he's not going to take the bait because he's a terrible golfer. Donald Trump actually is a good golfer. Donald Trump has invited me to go play golf. And I was like, no, sir, I'm a terrible golfer. You would be miserable. You do not want to play with me. My wife also said he wanted my soul at the time. So, but nonetheless, it would be funny, y'all. Let's just acknowledge every single person, including people who hate golf, would tune in and watch this. But the crowd, how would you do crowd control? Because you would have the partisans on both sides beating the snot out of each other on the sides of the course as they're trying to watch Trump and Biden play. That in and of itself would, I mean, you would have like a UFC match and a golf tournament at the same time, and you wouldn't know where to look. Do we look at the people in the crowd beating each other up, or do we watch the two old geezers try to play golf? This is what it's come to. It would be a great event, though. If Biden actually is a good golfer, and I don't think he actually is, he should actually just do this for the heck of it. The presidential series, do something like that. It would be fun. It would be fun to watch. Do the presidential series between these guys. But Trump's a better golfer with a better documented handicap than Joe Biden. In any event, this is where we are. The challenger, former president, challenging the incumbent president to a golf tournament. Only a few more months. Can you believe the Republican National Convention is next week? Back in my day, it started in August, and you had the incumbents after. Now, traditionally, the incumbent of the White House goes last. But traditionally, they start in like August and maybe spill over to September. But this starting at the end of July, I can't believe it's next week. I'm not going, by the way, but we'll give it great coverage.